Welcome to the Discotech Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. We're excited to be a part of the Strange New Pods Picard Day celebration in honor of season two of Picard coming out next month. Let me start by introducing the crew. I'll start with Rachel. You can find her on Twitter and TikTok at DramaDark884. If you're on Trek Twitter, you've probably seen her wearing a Strange New Worlds costume, cosplaying number one and Pike. I love your videos so much. Welcome, Rachel.
Thank you. They're always so fun to make.
I loved when you put the white powder in your hair and you were like, I'm Pike now. I'm not number one anymore.
At least I like pulled my hair back and I was like going to try to make it like, try to like make it look like my hair short. I was like, I look too girly. There's not, and I'm not going to make me look masculine. So I was like, my hair's great. That's as much as you're going to get. That was a bit of powder and dry shampoo. I just didn't brush it in the way you're supposed to.
Right. Next, I'll introduce Lewis. I was so excited when Lewis agreed to join our podcast because he beams in every time from Argentina and he brings his international perspective from South America to our Star Trek discussions. We're so grateful to have him. He handles all of our sound editing and video editing. We could not do this without him. He's Shima Trek on Twitter. Welcome, Lewis.
Hello. I'm glad to be here.
Thank you. And lastly, I'm Marcy London. I draw a lot of Star Trek, Star Wars, sometimes Marvel fan art, and I recently began a Korean drama obsession, so sometimes I draw that. And you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, at Marcy London Art, and I'm excited to be here with you all today. Our topic is the relationship between Jean-Luc Picard and Data. So I have been rewatching season one of TNG and was struck immediately by the way Picard, who is new to his command on the Starship Enterprise, is really quite annoyed by Data for the first few episodes. I haven't rewatched this in a very long time, so I'd missed a lot of that flavor. And Data doesn't always understand social cues or idioms, especially in the beginning. He's still kind of new, like he's not new to it, but also he hasn't been around that long. He's already worked his way up through the ranks in Starfleet, but he's still missing a lot of those social things. And it's the little things that Picard takes for granted that Data's missing. And so Picard tends to get a little bit irritated with him to have to pause and explain them to Data. And at this point, he really doesn't understand, Picard doesn't understand the unique advantages that Data brings as part of the crew. And I would say it really isn't until about halfway through the season that Picard begins to understand and even mentions to Riker, do you think Data is maybe more human than we are at one point? Lewis, what do you think about the beginning of their relationship?
I think we see Data more like a child and Picard like a father figure. Mm-hmm. And I think most of the first season is based on that interaction. Like we see the world through the eyes of Data. And sometimes he makes basic questions about humanity. I think that is a very good starting point for talking about those issues.
Yeah, Data is kind of a lens that we're able to use to see humanity a little bit better. Mm-hmm. Rachel, you mentioned that you tend to watch TNG in the background kind of all the time on a revolving basis.
Yeah, it's just sort of on. I don't get it right.
Just always kind of on.
Yeah.
What do you think about the later seasons? Because there's so many and there's so many episodes of TNG. It's not like the Star Trek we get now that are 8 or 10 episodes. There's so many. What do you think about the way that their relationship progressed throughout that show?
It's interesting because I feel at the beginning, Picard felt like almost like an annoyed father or uncle to Data. And I think by the end, they're like way closer to being like actual peers. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like I can imagine, like I remember early on, although I don't think Picard thinks it's Data, but I don't think it actually is, that episode where that weird baby face alien is like, I want to see what death is like, so I'm going to kill half of you. And then to like learn about death, he like pretends to be Data and come and ask Picard about death. And while Picard still thinks it's Data, he like describes it the way he would to a child. Mm. And even though that's obviously not actually data, like Picard thinks it is, or like just describing what different words mean, or like he's during Data's day, he like describes what the miracle of birth, like life is. And he's like, look, a baby.
Right. We should definitely mention the Measure of a Man episode.
Yes. I mean, that, I mean, that's what like Picard, maybe he starts infantilizing Data less because he's like, oh, I need to like stick up for him as like, he's a member of my crew. He's not just this like extraordinary thing. And I have to go above and beyond to protect him because he is this extraordinary thing. But it's like important to take him seriously.
And I think we need to talk about, too, the way Pulaski and that whole relationship between her and Data changed the entire crew's perspective.
This is where I have to be like, I'm on the camp. I really don't like her.
I think that's where a lot of people are.
It's funny because I've definitely seen a thing. It was like, oh, people just don't like her because she's a woman, like kind of in more recent years. So I was like, no, it's more than that.
Yeah.
It's the way she treats Data. I really don't like. She's like the one who treats him like he's an object. She won't give him the common decency of pronouncing his name right when she first is on the show. And then is like, and then is so rude to him while Data and Geordi are just trying to have some Sherlock Holmes fun that they create like a sociopath in Holodeck that's sentient. And I feel like maybe by the end of the season she was like starting to come around, but I also feel like you shouldn't have to come around on treating your colleague like a human being or like a person. I guess, I mean, human being isn't the great way to put it for Star Trek, because even like their Worf is also not a human being. But Data should be treated like a person.
A sentient
being. Yes, a sentient being.
We should talk about Data's Day as an episode specifically from season 4.
I love that episode. When I say I constantly have TNG on in the background, that is a go-to episode.
Why is that?
I love the how lived in it feels. Like it feel like, I mean, you're following Data for a day, but I kind of love like seeing the like other stuff going on in the Enterprise, like, or they're just talking and they're like, oh yeah, the baby's being born. There's a couple plays the kids are putting on, you know, Data and Crusher are just going to go dance for a while.
It's the sort of episode that we don't get much anymore.
Yeah. I feel like that is, and I understand why TV has gone away from that, but like in a lot of ways that episode could be considered filler, but if filler episodes are done right and they're like they're just like character building, they end up being like really important.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with them.
I feel like that was like a Lower Decks episode.
Yeah.
Before Lower Decks.
Well, now I kind of want to also compare it to the like season 7 episode Lower Decks, in that it's following a character you wouldn't, and obviously Data is a main character, but you don't usually just follow Data.
Yes.
I always forget that is the first, like you are introduced to Keiko as she's marrying Miles, which I always find. I always expect her to be around a little earlier than that.
I didn't realize. Let's see, season 4, The Devil's Due.
I guess, yeah, that's a way you could see Picard really taking Data seriously, is that he knows Data is the one he can trust to be impartial and both sides can trust him. And he realizes that Data's ability to not play like favoritism will like help them, because they know they can put someone they trust that the other side can't, like they can't like poo-poo that idea because it's Data.
Just reminded me, there was that episode in season 1 where I think they begin to realize Data's physical abilities when they're on this terraforming planet and the laser has just killed this man in this room that they're using, and the aliens start controlling the laser and firing, and they realize it's intelligently firing at whoever is in this room. But Data's able to outsmart it, whereas a human wouldn't have been able to move fast enough and then stop the laser. And he And he survived. And so I think that was the one where they start to be like, not only are his computing abilities more than they realized, but his physical abilities are too. And then the show starts to make use of those things.
Yeah. Data's definitely a character that every now and then you go, thank God he's on our side. Like,
that's true. Like,
this, you just talk about the relationship when Data steals the ship with his really good Picard impression. And, but he does Picard's like insane password. And I'm pretty sure, like, Brent Spiner does have a good Patrick Stewart impression. I'm pretty sure that is Patrick Stewart's voice, not his impression, but.
Right.
But I just remember it happening and being like, I do not like Patrick Stewart's voice coming out of his face. It's very disconcerting.
Wrong. Yeah, that's wrong. And then Time's Arrow from season 5.
They find Data's head in an archaeological site. And they're like, he dies in the past somehow, they realize.
Mm-hmm. Yes, the head is 500 years old, and they start looking out what happened.
Yeah, and then they get sucked into the past and meet past Guinan.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's interesting for Picard and for everyone. Them all finding out Data will eventually die is like, it's really interesting to see how, like, they obviously at this point, they see Data as like a crew member. Like, Data's one of them.
Mm-hmm.
He's not just a computer, obviously.
Right. They've already changed their point of view by this point.
I just remember, this is, Picard's not in the scene, but the like elevator where he's with Deanna and Riker. And he's kind of asked him, he's like, why does everyone stop talking when I enter a room? And they're like, yeah, you're right. We should start doing that. And they're like talking to him about it. But I do remember Data has a line there about how it's actually like kind of nice for him. He's like, he said, it's nice to know I'm not just going to live forever and like outgrow everyone that I ever love.
Mm.
Is Clues the one where Data's the only one who can remember what happened for the last like day?
Yes, yes.
They don't trust Data for a little bit, which is, it's really interesting to see. It is actually, even though they don't trust Data, with the initial part you see that Picard trusts Data to like guard this secret with his life twice.
Mm-hmm.
Because the part you don't see at first, and then they're like, okay, let's fix it. We gotta figure this out. And it really shows, even though Picard won't remember this, how trustworthy Data actually is. As far as I know, nobody knows about that. Data took that, Data ends up taking that to his grave.
Yeah, I think Picard thinks that there is something wrong with Data. And at the end, is okay, let's trust him.
Yeah.
In Inheritance in season 7, that's where they meet Dr. Soon's wife, right? So kind of making her Data's mother.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She definitely seems to consider her his mother. That episode is really interesting because it's interesting, like, Data learning about, because I feel like everyone always forgets that Data doesn't remember anything before like a certain time, that there's a time that Data was around and Data just does not know what was going on in that time at all.
Right.
And then she, of course, turns out to be an android. I remember being so shocked by that the first time I watched it. Like, I was like, what a twist.
Yes, it was quite graphic how we find out she's
an android. Yeah. I was like, oh, Jesus. Like,
she's broken.
Oops.
Dr. Soong is played by Brent Spiner, right?
Yes. So,
yeah.
Everyone with the last name Soong is played. That is not.
God. All the way into Picard.
Into Picard and like into the past in Enterprise.
Yes, exactly.
I'm like, I remember.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yes. One of his ancestors shows up on Enterprise.
Okay.
And my friend was at her mom's house and her mom was watching Enterprise. And she just texted me. She's like, Brent Spiner just showed up as like not Data, and I was, he related to Data, and I was like, yes, he's related to his creator. And she was like, what? And I was like, yeah, Brent Spiner wants to play Data and then ridiculous people. I feel like there's probably something because he's so restrained as Data that he probably likes being able to like go a little crazy. You know, what would be an interesting thing to talk about is Lull, his daughter. That episode is so sad.
With the short bob, the brown yes. haircut. Yeah. I have a picture of her in my head, but it's been a long time since I've seen.
Now I'm like trying to remember. In my head, I almost imagined her blonde, but that's because that I usually, that actress is also in Lizzie McGuire and she's blonde there.
Oh.
She's Lizzie McGuire's mother. But I'm remembering that scene where Picard is like kind of has to face the fact that sometimes he like thinks of Data differently, because Data is just like, to everyone, by the way, I made a child. And Picard's like, why did you not tell me you were doing this? And he's like, do other crew members need to tell you when they're trying to reproduce?
Yes.
And Picard's like, no. And he's like, this is different. And Data's like, how? And I was like, yeah, how is it different, Picard? Answer the question. And then I cry because that episode is sad.
So this is one of the things that I was confused about the first time I watched Picard. Did he actually have time to help build them? Or is it that somebody else made them based on his
I think the somebody
cybernetics
else.
That were left over from
I him? I think Bruce Maddox made them. Mm-hmm. With the stuff that he had, some part of Data that I know was important, but I don't remember what part it is anymore.
Okay.
Although I do love, oh my God, the actress when in that one scene, she does like the Data head tilt.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, that was so good. I just always think, I don't know, this is maybe more of a behind the scenes fact, you know, they have like a female rendition of that last scene with Data and Picard. They have that rendition of Blue Skies. It's sung by the actress that plays Soji.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which I always thought was a nice touch.
So all good things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's probably Data with like a little gray streak in his hair.
But also he was the only one who really believed about what Picard was saying.
That's true.
I think that was a nice touch,
mm-hmm.
like an ending their journey together in the next generation.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because we don't really get to see, obviously we don't get to see our Data get to that point that like he's really advanced. Like I remember him like making jokes and maybe like finally figured out contractions.
I cannot tell you that because I watch in Spanish.
Oh, that's fair.
I think they deleted all that trait. It's not present in Spanish.
I have an interesting question, which is like when they would like bring it up that he doesn't use contractions, do they just like take that out or do they try to translate that to something else?
If in the dialogue they say about contractions, they translate it. But in reality, it's like any other character.
Okay. So are there, I don't speak Spanish well enough, are contractions not really a thing in Spanish, I'm guessing?
The thing is, the translation is not the same.
Yeah, that makes sense.
In the entire seven seasons. Like mm-hmm. they change voices like two or three times.
Oh, wow.
That means that the people that make the translation maybe is not the same all the time. So
mm-hmm.
I think they get the script and they translate and whatever.
Yeah. What the episode I'm thinking of particularly is Future Imperfect. When one of the things that, like, when Riker finally figures out, hey, like, he sees Minuya and he's like, that was not a real woman. She cannot have been this child's mother. And he like goes and like yells at everyone. One of the things he points out is Data says can't, and he goes, see, you said can't, like you used a contraction. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just wondering if, and now I'm like worried about all of us. Like, wait, if like, some languages don't use contractions, how do they translate that sieve?
You can't.
Yeah.
So, and we talked about how at the beginning of the show, Data still doesn't always understand the idioms that they're using. Mm-hmm. There's a quote from Data. It appears we will be required to ignite the midnight petroleum, sir, because we would say burn the midnight oil. So I love that he's still learning those little.
What does he? What does he call he? What does he call a wild goose chase? I could be chasing an untamed ornithoid without cause, which is a wild goose chase.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I remember that line. I do not remember what episode that is from.
Data also says to Picard, Q's interest in you has always been very similar to that of a master in his beloved pet. That was only an analogy, Captain.
Data's not wrong about that, though.
I can't wait to see Q in season two of Picard.
Oh my God, I cannot wait to see John Delancey again. Like, I was so excited when he appeared, like, you know, voice on Lower Decks, but like seeing him again.
Yeah. Picard also says to Data, Mr. Data, you're a clever man in any time period.
He says that during All Good Things, right?
Yes, yes.
That's a good line. God, now I just want to go and back and rewatch All Good Things. Actually, I think I've told you guys that when I watched the first episode of like Picard season one, I went to a bar and we were watching it, but they just had All Good Things playing before. We were supposed to be like getting drinks, and we're all just like, no, we're watching All Good Things now.
So, Generations, Data gets his emotion chip. Mm-hmm. And this is the one with the cute little scene that everyone always uses the GIF from with the tricorder. And and then he sings the little song, Scanning for the Happy Little Life Forms.
I love Data's storyline in that movie. It has like the best humor. And then I love the, like, there are emotional stakes. Of course there are. It's his emotions.
Yep.
I think that's maybe a nice full circle moment of Picard treating Data like any other crew member is that Data tries to be relieved of duty when it starts malfunctioning. And Picard's mm-hmm. like, no, most crew members do not get like time off just because they're feeling an emotion.
Yeah.
Although mental health is important. So maybe they should.
Yeah. Well, I think he was probably gauging the level of it.
Yeah. To be fair, there was also like an extreme emergency happening.
Right. They needed him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think maybe Picard thinks that the best way of dealing with the emotion is focusing in a task.
That's true. And it's not like Data. To be fair, is it right after Geordi is kidnapped that he... And I think he's trying to prove to Data that like him making mistakes doesn't make him less valuable. Cause I think Data freezes when Geordi gets kidnapped because he's like feeling fear for the first time,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which is Data. It's normal to like feel fear if you're having emotions now.
Yeah. And it's of its time too. I mean, I know in mm-hmm. Discovery, like they'll handle mental health much more in line with, you know, what we would expect today, but
they did
a little different.
I would say for the 80s, it's like pretty revolutionary that like, hey, there's a counselor on board.
Yes, definitely. They were ahead of their time, even then.
That's also how Data, Data's going, yes! we try not to cuss. Data cusses in that movie. That's what that gets a chuckle out of me. Data, like, all of a sudden, like, that very real reaction out of Data to the idea of the ship crashing.
Because he didn't do anything like that during the run of TNG, right?
Mm-mm.
Nothing. Yeah. So that was brought about by the emotion chip.
Yeah. Which that is an emotion, just being like, oh no.
Yeah.
I guess the emotion is, oh no.
Right.
That's the only version I could think of that does not involve Cusper.
So in First Contact, we have this moment where Picard tells Data to turn off his emotion chip when he begins to feel fear. And there's that moment where he tells Data, there are times when I envy you. Because he's able to keep that focus, and sometimes emotions do. Sometimes they help focus you, and then other times.
I also envy Data here. Can you imagine just turn off anxiety? It'd be great.
It would.
Like, don't worry about that. Great, cool.
Yeah, just the focus that he's able to have in that moment, while you know the rest of them are still feeling the anxiety of that.
Yeah,
that's good. But I think at that point, you can see just the admiration that Picard does have for him.
Oh, and Picard does like go back to save Data at the end there.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like, it's really only to save Data. Data's the only one still on the ship at that point. And in return, Data ends up saving Picard by acting like, yes, I've turned. No, I haven't. It's cool. And it's interesting seeing like the Borg Queen kind of compare the two of them.
The Borg Queen and Data just...
There's so much happening there.
Yeah, there's a lot. In Insurrection, we'll move on to the next movie. There's that funny moment on the shuttlecraft, or is it a runabout?
I think Picard is in a shuttle and Data is in a scout ship they made for Insurrection.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the one where they sing Gilbert and Sullivan, because Data was like rehearsing it before to like get through to him.
Yes, exactly. They sing the song.
And I know Picard, because I was trying to remember the scene earlier, so I like rewatched just that clip. And Picard tries to get Worf to sing. He's like, sing with me, Worf. And Worf's like, no. And Picard starts singing, and he kind of sings something about like war, and then Worf joins in. So it's almost like Worf is like, it's a warrior song. I can sing this.
Yeah, that's a really Klingon thing. Yeah. There will be songs sung of this day.
Yeah.
That's in his wheelhouse then.
I mean, this is a different Gilbert and Sullivan song, sung a completely different thing, but I could sing Worf getting into like modern Major General.
Yeah.
No, this has to exist. Someone translated modern Major General into Klingon. And now, so yeah, they're singing the song of British Tar. Now I have the Star Trek Insurrection. Like, I just wonder that they have like a picture of Data singing on Memory Alpha, and it's, the caption is Data distracted by musical theater. I love that.
Yeah. We see him sing again in Nemesis, and I feel like Nemesis is not a very popular Star Trek movie, and I'm pretty sure the ending was a big part of that. So spoiler warning, if you haven't watched it yet, you're going to want to watch it before listening to the next part of this podcast.
Nemesis is not my favorite. I'll admit that. It's not the ending, so, you know, I don't have to see Deanna Troi get assaulted ever again. Especially not, like, mind assaulted, which it's, like, at least the third time that's happened to her.
It was overdone, so
like
for sure.
I also, if anyone, I suggest anyone who hasn't ever, look up the deleted ending to Nemesis. It's actually really cute, and I think is a much better, like, the deleted scene I think is better than like the scene that's in the movie. But it shows like the new commander coming in, and like Riker plays a little joke on him before he leaves. The joke is that he tells the new commander to call Picard Jean-Luc, and then just leaves, and everyone's just looking around, and then he calls him Jean-Luc, and Picard just gives him this look, and he's like, Riker was like messing with me, wasn't he? But I do love the wedding where Data does sing Blue Skies. One, Brent Spiner is a great singer, and
it's just a fun scene.
It's really fun, and I love watching them like get to have like a celebration. I mean, it's Star Trek, I get it, but like we so rarely get to see them just have some fun.
Yeah. So yeah, in that one, an evil clone of Picard, played by Tom Hardy and sadly not by James McAvoy, shows up to toy with Picard, who is ultimately killed. And to make a long story short, in the midst of all that, the ship they're on is ready to explode. Data beams aboard and saves Picard's life by attaching a personal transporter to him and beaming him back to the Enterprise. But then the ship explodes and Data is killed. So There are a lot of references to
I
that.
I will say,
in
though, apparently
Picard.
Brent Spiner worked on the script because he felt like he was getting too old to play Data, which I do understand because Data's not supposed to age exactly. It's.
However, it is science fiction.
It is science fiction. Data can age.
Yeah. Had he wanted to continue playing this character, they could have come up with something like, we have found a way to make you age. And I mean, look at what they did in Picard. Like, they made the synths like real people with, you know, with bodies. And so they could have put Data's essence, his memories, everything into a body that they said it was now aging. So
I
that
thought
he's
it
aging
was
like his
interesting, even though Picard like undoes that they did this, that Nemesis kills Data and then but also puts in a way for him to come back. I don't think we talked about before. At some point, they're go on a weird dune buggy race throughout a desert planet. In the most overexposed scene in all of Star Trek.
Not wrong.
The first time I watched it, I thought there was something wrong with my TV. And I thought the rest of the movie wasn't like this. What's happening? And they find the body of a previous Data, previous Sim type android. His name is B4. They just build him because they didn't learn from the last time they did that, and he turned out to be evil. But he's having, he has a really hard time adjusting because his brain is so, so much more primitive than Data. That doesn't sound right. I don't know how to put that. And Data puts his memories into him and hoping to, help him grow that way. But he starts singing Blue Skies at the end. And I've definitely, I've even seen comics that are now not canon at all where that happened and Data's mind took over B4's and Data's essentially alive in B4's body.
Yes.
I know there was a tie-in comic to Star Trek 2009 where Data is in command of the Enterprise and he shows up at the end of first issue, and because he's talking to Spock. And so they're talking about their oath. It's like, isn't it interesting coming back from death?
I feel like that was definitely something that they felt like they needed to patch.
Yeah. Which I thought it was interesting that Picard was immediately no, B4's dead. B4's just hanging out in a drawer. Actually, you know what? That should be season 2 of Picard. Justice for B4.
So today I was binging the first season of Picard. And I do, we were talking about this a little bit earlier. I feel like that show was really designed to be enjoyed with the binge model. And I think I don't know if it was designed with that in mind or it just happened that way. I know a lot of things were being released all at once on Netflix at the time. And then I know a lot of things since then have been going back to a week-to-week model. So I'm not sure what the writers had in mind. But it feels like it was designed to be watched like a long movie all in a short amount of time. I remember when I watched it the first time, I was constantly like, I don't remember what's going on. I don't remember why we're at this point, because it seemed the plot was a little complicated. And then today when I was watching it, I thought, this is really simple. Like, what was I struggling with before? And before we started recording, Rachel, you pointed out something about the time that it came out.
As the entire world was going through trauma? Is that what it was?
Yeah. The first few weeks of the pandemic.
It was the first few weeks of the pandemic where everything was changing so rapidly that I don't know our brains, there was just too much to keep up with. And the example I used is just the time is that I watched the first episode of Picard season 1 in a bar surrounded by strangers. And by the end of the season, I was working from home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think all of us were kind of
never going went back to that office.
Right. I think all of us were going through trauma. And so we did have a lot on our minds. And so I think that affected part of the way that I perceived Picard the first time I watched it. And also it's kind of designed to be a long movie. It's one story with one arc. It's not as episodic as something like TNG, where you kind of just have a vague recollection of what happened the episode before, and that's fine. It doesn't really matter to what's happening this episode. Whereas with Picard, it very much matters what happened in the previous episode. So if you watched it the first time around and you didn't have a good impression of the show, then I would suggest giving it a second try, watching it over the course of a weekend or a week. Mm-hmm. And you might come away with a different perspective on it this time, because I did.
It'll be interesting, because at least with Picard season one, I felt like the pace was slower than I had expected it to be, especially like compared to like Discovery.
Mm-hmm.
And I think now I think I've maybe enjoyed a little more going and expecting that slower pace, knowing that that is the pace of Picard and not putting like what my expectations were.
Yeah, not putting the Discovery expectations on it.
Which does make sense. The protagonist of Picard is Picard is supposed to be in his 90s. Patrick Stewart is not that old. Picard is older than Patrick Stewart is. I think they're all supposed to be, because people are supposed to live longer. They're all supposed to be a little older than they are.
That's true.
I just wanted to be clear that I'm not like just saying Patrick Stewart's in his 90s when he's not, because that just feels like a mean-spirited joke to like call him older than he actually is.
No.
But yeah, it makes sense that if that's your main character, the pace would be a little slower and it'd be more of like a character piece than like action, let's go.
Yeah, they did a good job bringing the characters in around him who could do those action scenes. And I know in the first episode when he's running around with Dodge, I was a little worried, and then I thought this is probably a stunt person that we're seeing from the back.
Oh
yes,
most definitely, because they're not going to put, for like a younger actor, like he probably could, but even like there's like I don't know if any of those like explosions were practical, but if they were not going to be letting Sir Patrick Stewart anywhere near them.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
And like, I know Sonequa Martin-Green has done some of her own stunts and like harnesses and stuff, but she's significantly younger than Patrick Stewart is.
Yeah.
Sure. And she has experience on those types of things from her previous work.
Yeah.
In Picard, he mentions several times the affection that Picard has for Data by this point in his life is really touching. And he mentions that he's been mourning Data for 2 decades. Mm-hmm. And really, that relationship is the fuel that powers Picard through the entire adventure of season one. And the desire to protect Data's daughter as tribute to that relationship is Picard's driving force.
Mm-hmm.
He unhesitatingly refers to Data's life and death, those words in his conversation with Eleanor when he's explaining his case as to why he wants, you know, Eleanor's help with this. And there's no exceptions for, well, he was an android, but, you know, we call it his life, quotation marks. You know, there's none of that. It's his life and his death, and that he sacrificed himself and gave himself to Starfleet. And it, you know, it's coming on the heels of Nemesis, which didn't go over very well with a lot of people. And what do you think about the way that Star Trek chose to make this show centered around that specific relationship?
It's interesting. Part of me kind of applauds them for not trying to walk back Nemesis, because they knew it like wasn't the like most well received. Like I kind of applaud them for like not trying to just sweep it under the rug, not trying to just retcon it out of existence.
Right. But it reshaped the narrative around it.
Yeah, it does. And I think it makes Data's sacrifice a little bit more meaningful. And that scene at the end, I think you finally get Data actually gets a last moment. And I think that's part of Data's death is so quick that you're like, Data's a main character. Like, Data deserves better.
Yeah.
And you kind of really understand what, like, I guess that comes back to that we talked about earlier, where Data was like, I don't want to live forever. I want to experience like being a human. And he does get that at the end of Picard season one, because he does get to die in Nemesis. He doesn't get to like think about it or like mull that over. He just gets exploded like very quickly, blown up.
Yeah. Yeah. So did Picard provide the ending that Data deserved better than Nemesis did, and provide homage to the relationship that he had formed?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I think it's a proper end of journey for Data.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There was, as far as Data was handled in that. There was only one thing I found about Picard. I didn't understand why, if they're going to focus that much on Data, why Geordi wasn't brought in as well.
Yeah.
Because
Geordi was in the novel that came out prior to the show.
I have not read that book.
Okay. Did you read it, Lewis?
No.
No. Okay. I read some of it. In the parts that I read, Geordi is helping Picard with the building the ships to save the Romulans who were going to be rescued from their son.
Oh.
Going supernova. So we did see some parts between him. Yeah, I do wish he had shown up. There are several people that I wish had shown up in Picard. Beverly, I feel like, was a glaring absence.
Yeah, there's a lot. But I think maybe Geordi was the most glaring, because I was like, he was very close to Data.
Right. Like, he could have been there, especially in that last episode.
And I know that Brent Spiner and Patrick Stewart are incredibly close. Like, I think the entire cast of TNG is very close from, I don't know, they seem to be on social media, but Brent Spiner was at one of Patrick Stewart's wedding was his best man. Like, they are very close. You'd definitely pass the, like, we just put on this friendship to, like, for fans, like a best man at somebody's wedding.
Yeah, that's above and beyond. You wouldn't do that.
Or even if you were like a groomsman, even if you were just invited to the wedding, you're probably actually friends.
What are you hoping to see from season two? I mean, it's coming out really soon.
Really soon. I just, based on like the trailers, I'm really like, I'm so hyped to see Q again, because we haven't seen Q with Picard in how long? All good things, right?
Yeah.
Almost 30 years.
Yeah.
It's been a little bit.
I mean, they haven't like had a scene together in almost the entire time I've been alive. Like, that's, and I'm not that young. And they're such like a, they're such an interesting dynamic. It's really interesting, I think, going back and watching TNG and realizing Q's not in that many episodes. And he's such, for him to be as important to the show as he is and not, and like be in that few episodes, really just says something about the performance.
That's true.
I don't know if they are going to use Q the whole season or only the first episodes, but I hope they can give us a story of Q and Picard, a deep story, because I don't think we are going to have another chance for that.
I don't either. I think, because I know it's Picard's supposed to be three seasons, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's the, I would imagine on screen that is probably the, I mean, I didn't think we would ever get Star Trek Picard, but I think after that, that's probably the last time we're going to get to see Patrick Stewart play Jean-Luc Picard.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to like get as much out of this as I can. It is really nice. I love that we're getting to see older actors come and back. And I also think it's nice that, I know a lot of times it can be hard for older actors to get work, and it's nice that like these characters are coming back. And so most of them are being played by the same people. I say most of them because remember, Bruce Maddox is not.
Right.
Yeah, it's nice being able to see. And I'm hoping for more TNG cameos that maybe they're keeping a secret.
I'm hopeful.
Yeah. I really want to see Worf.
Me too.
Although I feel like Worf could come back, and because he spent so much time in like Deep Space Nine as well. I feel like it doesn't necessarily need to be like a TNG related project that Worf could come back on. Mm-hmm. I just want to see cool badass like warrior Worf.
Would he be like a captain of a starship that they happen to run into?
I feel like he would either be a captain or he would be like a Klingon ambassador.
Mm-hmm.
Although I know Michael Dorn has wanted to do like a Captain Worf thing for like ever. So I feel like if we did get him, or probably if Michael Dorn had his wish. I have a theory that Michael Dorn might be the person with the most money out of Star Trek, because he's in all of TNG, all of the TNG movies, and like half of Deep Space Nine.
Yes.
And then he also did like a million tie-in products.
We have season three, so if we don't have the cameos this season, maybe next one. Maybe for Worf, it will be nice if we have him in season three, and maybe at the end of season three, they can give him a new series.
Ooh, I would love I like that idea.
Yeah, if they gave him a little more time, then that really would open up opportunity for a spinoff. All right. Thank you for joining us for the Discotheque podcast. We are really excited to be a part of Strange New Pod's Captain Picard Day celebration. And we thank them for having us, and we thank you for joining us. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.